Please abort and retry.
One left.
Just reloaded.
JustReloaded.com.
All our music comes from the heart and soul. Start by listening. It is music that takes its roots from Africa.
Just Reloaded.
And we embrace the rule that we are.
The collective set of building blocks from which human reality is made.
JustReloaded.com. Just changes.
It's as if there is this great reservoir outside of time and space. Patterns, energy.
This is a very, very important message.
It is a system which has conscripted human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine.
JustReloaded.com.
Mankind struggles to give a definition like this.
Combine diplomatic, intelligent, economic, scientific, and political.
Funny, because I don't know anything about music.
I don't know anything about music. Just listen to it, that's all.
First of all, you have to respect your
whole
culture.
Come on, China!
Are you ready?
Music from another land, made in England.
Well, what do you think?
You should do it.
Jazz, open up the mind.
Just so, spoken word, from the roots to the fruits. This is Just Reloaded.
I will not make any deals with you. I've resigned. I will not be pushed, filed, stamped, indexed, briefed, deed, or numbered. My life is my own.
Just Reloaded.com.
One, two, one, two, one, two, one, two. Yes, 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 this is TaylorMade Radio on JazzReloaded.com. And so the British summer may be coming to an end, but the carnival season is just about to begin. So we put together what I think is our best show yet. It's a special blend of trilly tunes and steel pan vibrations to get you in the mood to move. We'll also be hearing from legendary Calypsonian Alexander D. Great, who I bumped into at this year's TUC Black Workers Conference, alongside with spiritual artist and educator Roxanne Clinch. Now they'll be talking about how things have changed for Afropean artists over the years and how they've stayed the same. Big thanks to the Musicians Union for their part in making that happen. Plus, we've got the usual selection of fine music from the unheard scene, brought to you by The Unknown Quantity. By the way, we're still looking for new tunes from old heads and something borrowed from the blues, so if you've got any jazz news or tunes,
you need to holler, 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 just holler at me. You need to holler, 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 holler at me. You need to holler, 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 just holler at me. I wanna share jazz stories with the world, so share your stories with me.
Share your stories with me. Changes at jazzreloaded.com is the address. Changes at jazzreloaded.com. That's it. Peace out. Enjoy the show. Jazz Changes.
Jazz Reloaded. Jazz Reloaded. One voice. One voice. Giant steps. Giant steps.
Thanks for joining me. We have with us Alexander the Great, Trinidadian, I believe. How would you describe yourself?
Trinidadian Cockney Trinidadian, yeah.
Trini Cockney. And yourself?
Roxanne Clinch.
And you are from?
I was born here in England, but I don't know exactly where I'm from as a person within my soul. Searching like everybody else. But what I do, for many years I've been a spiritual development teacher, but I've also been a performer. I started as an actress, I've taught for many years, directing, writing, voice, you name it, the performance arts.
Alexander the Great, what can I tell you about the story? In fact, we're quite similar in the sense that we're searching for who we are. I think everyone's searching. And I've pretty much come to peace, you know, I've pretty much made my peace with myself. I am an earthling.
One of those.
I remember saying once to a guy many years ago in the early 70s when I was touring America with a band, I met a guy who was a Native American. And I said, oh, what tribe are you, man? He said, I'm from the human tribe. And he was very serious. And I thought, oh yes, stupid me. It just put me right in my place because his response was absolutely correct. What tribe are you from? You know, as if that was to satisfy some thing in me which need to ask that rather stupid question.
It sounds sort of like that lovely question, which I'm sure you've heard a dozen times. Yeah. What do you do?
What do you do?
Which is a very, very difficult question to answer. I find it hard to answer because as much as you've got to pay, you've got to earn a living and pay your way through society. But my whole essence is about my spirituality. And it's an interesting thing that you say that this Native American said to you, he is human. What has happened here in society is we are no longer humans. We are walking dead without our souls. And that is where we have to bring that soul back as a people. And I think until that happens, it will still be a loss.
Alexander the Great on jazzreloaded.com, and you're listening to one of my tracks, Remembering Slavery.
People like Wilberforce. He had the slave trade act abolished, we know of course. But give credit to those of the African race, to Santa Nequiano, we know amazing grace. Haiti was the jewel in the Caribbean crown. Napoleon fought Louverture, but could not bring him down. And Gustavus Vassa wrote a true slave story. So how come it's an English politician get the glory? This is a year for remembering slavery. Oh yes, it is now the history of Europe that is most unsavory. Not only politicians, but black people's bravery is what brought about the ending of slavery. The French liberation was marked by a victory parade for the nation. The ruling powers met and made a decision. Paris would be freed by an all-white division. 60% of their army was African. A quarter of a million Algerian and Moroccan. But Churchill and Eisenhower agreed to the plan. France would not be saying thanks to any black man. No, this is a year for remembering slavery.
This is a year for remembering the slave trade.
The history of Europe that is most unsavory.
Not only politicians, but black people's bravery is what brought about the ending of slavery. Has erupted, showing how much young people's views can be corrupted. A rich teenage girl on a reality show expressed her regret that slavery had to go. This is no longer just a matter of class. When we allow these kind of comments to pass, you find right thinkers at every level, happily improving on the work of the devil. This is a year for remembering slavery. Oh yes, it is not the history of Europe that is most unsavory.
This is a year for remembering the slave trade.
Not only abolitionists, but black people's bravery is what brought about the ending of slavery. They had to fight. They had to fight. This is a year for remembering, for remembering, remembering. We must remember.
I was born in Trinidad. The first music I heard would have been Calypso and Pan, although I don't remember hearing it as early as that. From about the age of five, I came to England as a toddler in 1951. My parents came, I had a white father and a black mother. Parents came to England, as many did in the Windrush generation, looking for work. Mum was a teacher and found, as many West Indians did, that she couldn't teach with her qualifications until she did some more study here. My father wanted to be a librarian, and he worked first doing all kinds of things, even being a postman while he went through college. So what happened was I understood from quite an early age the idea of struggle. And then also, once they got a place which had more than the one room, relatives began to come from the Caribbean to study nursing, go to college. And it was the same story for almost anybody who managed to get a foothold. It became a bridgehead for other people to come. And so my musical, but what it ended up with me wanting to do music is that my parents had many artistic friends, painters, musicians, poets, playwrights. The first apartment they got, or the first flat room, whatever you call it, was in Streatham. And it belonged to, I've forgotten, a Bajan writer who took me around on a motorbike a couple of times. George Lamming. George Lamming and his wife had a place. So it was as far back as that. And in those early days, you know, a lot of the Caribbean artists, playwrights, whatever, the actors, people like Errol John and Jerry Connor's dad, Edric Connor, people like that. They were people that were around in a very small circle of people. I mean, Russ Henderson, the great pianist who played for Lord Kitchener and played on the London Is the Place for Me, he was the piano player for a lot of the great old 50s Calypso tracks.
Okay.
They were good friends. I went to a wedding. I mean, here's a night. This would tell you how about not taking opportunity. I got interested in music at about the age of 12, 13, when, if you like, the early British rock scene began to emerge with the Beatles and the Stones. Up to then, I wasn't interested. Cliff Richard did nothing for me, and nor did Tommy Steele or any of those kind of early, that music hall-y type stuff. But once the Beatles came with their rough stuff, and when it sounded rough, it was rough and it was bright and it was coarse, and some of the harmonies were in fourths rather than fifths, and they were strange, you know. When that happened, we didn't realize at the time, of course, we were listening to early soul music brought by the American black sailors across to Liverpool, and the Beatles had access to that. But at the time, it just sounded like great songs that were just nothing like the crooner stuff that we had on English radio. So, you know, and then from there, a quite an eclectic mix of, let's say, British pop. Once I'd caught on to Ray Charles and stuff, once our record shop started selling, you could go to record shops and start buying American records that quickly, and then into, of course, the very early reggae stuff. I'm talking about Johnny Nash,
okay,
and Owen Gray, I think his name was, really, you know, 1960, 61, 62, that kind of stuff. Yeah, and that's how this Trini... But then, sorry, to just finish the story, Calypso was always in the background.
Okay.
And then in 1979, someone said to me, it was actually a producer, a German producer, said, you used to do Calypso, didn't you? I said, well, I grew up in... Oh, right, I said Calypso. So I wrote this not very good song, which was released in Germany, did nothing. And then in 89, I did another one. And then in 93, I decided, hey, I'm getting long in the tooth now. I've been in three fairly reasonable original bands, done the quasi, I don't know, Steely Dan, quasi jazz rock thing, all kinds of stuff, and nothing's happened. So I'm gonna go back to my roots.
Okay.
And as soon as I decided to do that, I found my niche, because really the beauty of Calypso is it's a great protest music. And I kind of started out with protest music. I started out on Bob Dylan and John Lennon in terms of my English influences, or my popular music influences. But even earlier than that, the first song I ever learned all the words of was Carnival Boycott by the Mighty Sparrow.
Okay.
And it was a song about boycotting Carnival because of the unfairness of the system of pay. And the Calypsonians got $25. The winner got $25. Yeah. The Carnival Queen got $5,000 and a car in 1957.
Wow.
That was injustice. So immediately, and I was fascinated by this song. 9 years old or something like that. What's this song all about?
You think you can remember it now?
Oh, I could do a little song. You want to do it? Let me see. I'll do a couple of verses to set the context.
The biggest bacchanal is in Trinidad Carnival. Oh Lord, the biggest bacchanal is in Trinidad Carnival. But no competition for me in San Fernando or the city. They could preach Peter or Paul. I wouldn't even go so far not to see football. I intend to keep all my costumes on the shelf. Let them keep the prize in Savannah for their own self. And let the queen run the show with a steel man and calypso. Man, if you want to go, you could go up there, but me ain't going no way. They started talking nonsense about some kind of violence, but they should publish an apology because they lying on me. We looking for better condition. They making false allegations. Say what they want, do what they like. Sparrow is one Calypsonian does fight. I intend to keep all my costumes on the shelf. Let the king be proud and be fighting between their own self. And let the queen run the show with a steel band and Calypso. Man, if you want to go, you could go away, but me ain't going no way. What really caused the upset is the card the queen does get. She does nothing for Caliban. She only pretty and that is all. But men like me and you, saving money to play history and juju. All we getting is two kids a bill and a talk up as band of the air. So I intend to keep all my costumes on the shelf. Let the kidney prize and the fighting between their own self. And let the queen run the show when she fridge and she radio. Man, if you want to go, you could go up there, but me ain't going no way.
And what's interesting about that is that let the queen run the show when she fridge and she radio. I thought the queen was Queen Elizabeth II. I was about 9 years old and I'm thinking, I didn't know about carnival queens being, you know, the carnival queen as such, because I was in England by then. So it's kind of strange. And it was only years later I realized it was the Carnival Queen. So I thought this was an incredibly daring record for the 1950s, because the Queen was the Queen. I mean, in those days, we were imprinted with this idea that royalty was absolutely sacrosanct.
When I speak to musicians of that generation, that the Queen was very much held in that esteem.
Yeah, and we soon found out the truth later on, didn't we?
I'd like to pick up on the point on what you said about Sparrow and being a political force and what we use creativity for in those days and what we need to bring back and the problem with the cuts that's gone on now, because one of the things that hasn't really been put out there is we've been cut 100%. A lot of our theatres, a lot of our grassroots theatres have been cut, not just by a little percent, 15% as others have been, but the whole cut. And the fact that we use this political force for our youth, which is very, very important, especially in the light of today and what is going on with the youth, the fact that they need this in their community. Because it's interesting, when I was a kid, I came from a very musical family. My father sang, he sang jazz. You could not tell the difference to my father's voice than Nat King Cole, I could imagine. So in our house, everybody had to sing. I knew when my father was angry, I knew when my mother was angry, because they would sing, and they would sing it in voice. They'd say, right, I'm going to do so-and-so tonight, I'm going to do this tonight. So you knew. So if we take away our creativity, we take away our history. So when these cuts are happening, that is the only way for our people, for minorities, to be able to hear and have a voice. Because they're not going to get it through media. Although we try, and it's 2011. They have to get it from grassroots. They have to get it from our theatres. They have to get it from the song.
Now's the time. Jazz reload. Jazz reload. Jazz reload.
LA, Roy Roy, Roy Roy, Roy Roy, Shaka to LA, Roy Roy, Roy Roy, Roy Roy, Shaka to LA, Roy Roy, Roy Roy, Roy Roy, Shaka to LA.
It is 2011, and we find ourselves in a conference room in the TUC Congress House in the year of International Year of People of African Descent at the TUC Black Workers Conference. What do those things mean to you, if anything? What has the experience of the Black Workers Conference brought to you? Have you attended previously, I presume?
Yes.
What's different? What's the same?
Well, for me, it's the same. The same as in nothing has really changed. We're still at that point where we're arguing for the same things, needing the same things, not being heard. We're nibbling. And I think that now is the time, especially around the world. This isn't an English thing, an England thing. This is a world thing. Because what is going on with every country, from Portugal to Ireland to so on and so forth, it's going to come back to us, and we know this.
Okay, the last UN year of International People of African Descent, I've checked this out, done my homework, it was 1961. So what I'm trying to figure out is, what's the change between 1961 and 1981? What's changed between 1981 and 2001?
I don't think that has been.
What's changed?
I think we're still arguing for the same things, we're still same needs. What is different is you have a world economy has gone bad.
But the world economy has no chance of improving. I put it all down to desire. I mean, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Mammon is the god of all gods, whether they like it or not, however much. We're always struggling against Mammon and the big money. I mean, people have always, always survived everything.
Exactly.
They survived slavery, whereas the Europeans managed to wipe out the indigenous Amerindians in very few years. I mean, less than 10 years. A combination of diseases, smallpox, the common cold, what have you, and the fact that these people were not used to hard work. When I say hard work, back-breaking, evil work. But the adaptation of black people is legion. And in the end, when all is gone, they will still be there. When all the tsunamis and all the earthquakes will survive. And so, in a way, that's almost the deal for being at the bottom of the pile is that you will resist.
The Michelin Harris. What the kids need to know is most of the descendants, the people of the Caribbean, are the descendants of the slaves. These are the people, like you say, that have survived. These are the strongest of the strongest. These are the things that they need to know.
Mm-hmm.
This is where they get their strength from. This is what they need to pull back in from their ancestry. Mm-hmm. Because it's that ancestry line, that rope that you have to tug within your spirit, within your gut, and allow you to survive that. Like you said, most of the people in the tribes in the middle of nowhere, these are the people that are going to survive. Because at the end of the day, if we go back to root, then there is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We can grow our food. I remember how to grow my fruit.
Mm-hmm.
What is interesting, my grandmother died at 126 years of age. What she used to do is work with herbs. These are the things that we have to reclaim back within our soul. We have to keep singing that song because it's that song that gives you that strength.
Story told beyond routine.
Convinced by some other unscrupulous people to take on board things that may or may not be good for them. And one of them would be the attitude that we have to suffer because we were made to suffer. That's a bad attitude, which I don't agree with. And also the idea that everything about man's estate can be found in any book. You see, I know there are so-called holy books of what they call the three Abrahamic religions. But before those religions existed, mankind was on earth. There's something that goes beyond or before or prior.
What one doesn't do is mix spirituality
with religion. Right, exactly.
As two different things.
It's two different things.
You have your book is already within your spirit and your soul. It's whether you on earth that book that is already within you.
And it's whether or not people believe. I mean, everybody's just really got his or her story to tell. I remember doing something called Hidden Herstories a while back, which is, you know, people put these, oh, it was a stupid idea, and I'm making a pun on it. But it wasn't for the women who were being celebrated within that, you know. If anything, and this is, again, I'm coming back to religion here, if anything, religion has, in some ways, been a tool
for the male gender to make sure that the female gender is kept in second position.
Within their books, it's not correctly read because it doesn't say half of what...
so much else. Tell me about it.
Exactly, which is an interesting thing because I always say to people sometimes, well, have you actually read your book?
Yeah.
And they'll say, well, I have read it. But no, you haven't. You've listened to people speaking. Yeah. And then you've
read
it. Exactly, but you haven't actually read it. And a lot of the things that they think that's in it is actually not in it. Or it's a misinterpretation of what is being said.
Mm-hmm. Finest Cut. You've got an album.
Right.
Would you call it a political album?
Very much so, yeah. I mean, I chose from way, way back to just follow my own route and say what I had to say. That means that very often you're quite often way ahead of what's going on. It catches up with the others when you make your statement.
The timeless classic, then?
Well, I hope so. I mean, what it's just, it deals with what I hope are universal topics. It also tries to sort of say in an artistic way something that is, yeah, not only universal. It doesn't have to, it's political, but it's not a black political thing. Black politics comes into it. But, you know, we know there are still 12 million or more people living under slavery today in various types of slave conditions, and they aren't all black people. They are in all kinds of countries.
Because what we're doing is a form of slavery.
Right.
You don't need to be in the chains.
On jazzreloaded.com.
The friendships we make in high school may not last for a lifetime. One goes on to study medicine, another resorts to crime. We need the love of two parents, and when a father's is lost, the children still want attention, and society must bear the cost. A cut from a piece of paper gives pain without drawing blood. But after so many fine cuts, a trickle feels like a flood. What we think of bruises and scratches that our children will grow out of are the wounds no other hood matches, those of a child's unreturned love.
These are the finest cuts,
society's own designest cuts, some of the most malignest cuts,
though they look so small. These are the finest cuts, really the most unkindest cuts.
We reach the end of the linest cuts,
finest cuts of all.
During the days of slavery, Massa had his wicked way, producing plenty new pickney to Madame Lorraine's dismay. At 5 years old, these young children would work on the plantation, but their fathers rarely acknowledged their own role as race relations. And when the slaves start a family, the boss would tear it apart, selling off brothers and sisters and breaking everyone's heart. What we think of bruises and scratches that our children will grow out of are the wounds no other hood matches, those of a child's unreturned love.
These are the finest cuts,
society's own designest cuts, some of the most malignest cuts,
though they look so small. These are the finest cuts, really the most unkindest cuts.
We reach the end of the linest cuts, the
finest cuts of all.
Oh, oh, oh. separate agendas, leaving kids to fend for themselves. Buying fast food for breakfast because there's nothing home on the shelves. Children now lead other children. It's like Lord of the Flies on the street. And a teenager with a bread knife might not be intending to eat. The role models that they follow, they take from gangster TV. But life in the fast lane is hollow, although they're too young to see. What we think of bruises and scratches that our children will grow out of are the wounds no other hurt matches, those of a child's unreturned love.
These are the finest cuts.
Society's own design is cuts. Some of the most malignest cuts.
Though they look so small, these are the finest cuts. Really the most unkindest cuts.
They reach the end of the line is cuts. The
finest cuts of all.
Yes. Mama da, mama da.
I've got a question for both of you, and hopefully you're going to give me a bright, cheerful, positive response. Is there a danger of the TUC Black Workers Conference becoming a church? Because I see a lot of middle-class or middle-income people in communion, in congregation, with mantras about great hidden evil. That's threatening to yes. destroy us. But I don't see a lot of technicians. I don't see a lot of organization around a plan, a pre-existing plan. Do you see, how has the conference been for you in terms of that? What energy have you got from the conference? And how would you recommend, I guess this is the main point of my question, how would you recommend the conference to
speech.
Other people?
Free speech, a little bit more free speech, a little bit more that people are able to say from their hearts what they feel. Not just following interpretations of how conferences should go, but to enable ethnic minorities' essence to come out of that freedom, the sparrow freedom of saying, not just containing it. I know that you have to have some kind of discipline and some kind of order, and that's with everything, but you have to bring in your own soul and not just make your own interpretation of what somebody else does.
What do you think is going to make young people come to the 2013 Black Workers Conference or to join a union indeed?
That's grassroots again. That's your parenting, what you're taught at home, what you see around you. Because it's an interesting thing, because it's something that I brought up the other day, chatting to a lot of young people. Is in my day, I squatted. You know, I said, well, why don't you go and squat? You can't squat. I said, but you can squat that building and you can make that building into an arts community, and then you can turn around and see if you get funding. But they had no idea. Because when you've got a regurgitation of media that just shows them in the light of Gucci, you name it, just your wants.
Yes.
Just your wants.
Okay.
There's no real political forces understanding spirituality. I'm not talking about religion, spirituality, political forces coming into their lives. What we're having here is a diet of computer games.
Yeah, but it's just acquisition, isn't it? They have to have what their peer group has. They're bombarded with stuff. Every day they're bombarded with things that they have to join and belong to. And you can actually say, you don't have to belong to that. There is no requirement for you to be in that group.
It is the conditioning. It is your conditioning of what you do. I understand what you're saying about peers. But if we discuss and we discuss and we discuss and we discuss, and then when they go out, they will learn. They will learn for themselves. Therefore, then, for me, it is when they're little, when they're very little to nurture that, which is very difficult because we have a generation now of people that are in under 40s that bring up kiddies now that have had it hard, that have not experienced, say, you and I, I'm nearly 50, not experiencing what we experience when we're younger, a bit more political savvy. These are being brought up in a generation of Big Brother and the like.
Yeah, exactly.
Of
reality TV,
of their image.
Unreality TV.
Exactly. Of all their image.
So they don't have the outward look. Right. It's about looking at one's own mirror image. It's about vanity. We've got to be honest here. However beautiful that might sound, it is about vanity. So it is, again, teaching the next lot, teaching them when they're little, maybe having more classes and in your community centres, all sorts of things like that. But it's when they're young. It's pulling. You do, when a plant grows, you don't pull it by a root. You let it. It's sapling. It grows, and then you put it into a bigger pot, and then you grow, and you put it into the next pot, and then it blooms. And that's what we need to do. Is the suckling? Is the sweet pea of the plant?
So back to nature then.
Everything is about back to nature. Everything that is going wrong in society now, everything that is uprooted, everything, all our understanding is back to nature. Whoa. And us as black people, that is one of the things that we have forgotten. And one of the great things about ourselves and why we was ruled and divided, that is the reason why one was hated, so to speak, is because of understanding nature. And we have to reclaim that and know who we are. Just as my grandmother would walk into the garden and know every herb, every understanding, everything. When I was in the Caribbean not long ago, I stayed for a couple of months with my mother. And it was an interesting thing because they were still planting, because they're country folk and they were planting their seeds and doing the bit. They looked up to the sky and they knew the moon, and the moon was out as I worked with the moon. And they knew when to plant the seeds. Now, there's an interesting thing over here. I saw a program a few years ago of a guy going to France to plant with the moon, and everybody laughed at him because he wanted to make wine, and they thought this was ridiculous. But I'm sorry, you're going to have to go back to that, because when the money runs out, you're going to need your seeds.
Don't dead already. My name is Jay Phelps, and I am one of the co-directors of Jazz Youth, which is a project that we're running in London that we'll be starting in March, April. And one of the real reasons why I got into jazz and some of the sounds that made me get into jazz were the sounds of Kind of Blue from Miles Davis. That was one of the only records that we had at home, and it was actually a record at that time, too. I know I don't look old enough to be having a record, but that's how it is. Kind of Blue was an amazing inspiration for me. It was the sounds of the music, the sounds of the different instruments that really got my attention and really made me focus on everything that I really wanted out of jazz music. And so that was one of my real pushes towards the music, was Kind of Blue. And within the feeling of that album, I came to know expressions of the music that I wouldn't normally have heard in any other kind of format or any other thing. So Kind of Blue for me was the one that did it.
JazzReload.com.